This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Asked, what was his kasha? The Chazon Ish had a kasha to which he gave two answers. You lost for that one. Who's got the Chazon Ish's kasha? David, can you did you chazed the David Shaw? You haven't chazed it yet.
He says why when we're talking about a board, there when you're uncovering a board, it's also not quite a question because
right.
The board's been dug before.
It's like removing the barrier.
The barrier from it.
Right.
So what's the difference between them? So he says no. In Chila, the board was dug with a koyach of Adam. But it was originally...
Right, so he says the one answer is Enachanami to Koach Sheni, but the Torah tells us that a Koach Sheni, when the Bor is already present at the time of opening it, is good for Bor. And the other answer is the act of opening it is like digging. It's not a Koach Sheni. The act of opening it is the creation of the Bor. So although that's not making the whole, but that's making the halachic concept of Bor. That's the difference between those two answers. According to the first answer, the Koach Rishoyin has to make the hole. And the Koach Rishon doesn't make the hole. The Koach Rishon is only removing the barrier into the hole. That's not called Koach Rishon, asks the Chazon Ish. He says, but that's the Gzeiras HaKosov. That's the Gzeiras HaKosov of Psicha. And the second one, he says that the Torah tells us that that is called Koach Rishon because that's a creation of the Bor with a capital base. The concept of Bor is created by the removal of the covering, although the hole was there before, but it wasn't a bur. For it to be a halachic bur, it must be uncovered. And the act of uncovering is the act of creating it into a bur.
The man said we repeat the last time with bur, and sure he's actually pushing it tomorrow. It's a problem without it. But she says, it's a whole thing.
Of bur and?
The question we were saying, instead of lamad and lamad.
Yeah. Oh, so what does it say? 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 What does
it say? What does
it say?
Of course. So it was with Bor Shiloi Berushus and Shur. Would teach us Bor Shiloi Berushus. Yeah. Good. So Tosfos' kasha was, how does this Mayim work? If Mave were to mean Mayim, what is it? Mimondavshach. If it's Koach Rishoyin, that's Odom. And if it's Koach Sheni, it's Potur. Answers to this was Ve'yesh Lema. The Mayri B'Koach Sheni, B'Kamashman B'Koach Sheni, Namichayim. Where do we know from that Koach Sheni is Potur? It's because we have no case of Koach Sheni. But if Mave were Mayim, we would say that Koach Sheni is Chayiv in the Zikin. So this is an amazing suggestion. This that according to Tosfos, this that Mave should mean Mayim would change all the halachas of Groma. If Mave were Mayim, then Groma would be Chayev. We would change that. The whole of Shas would change if this were so. It's not standard a didactical question and a question of semantics. This is a question that would change the whole of halacha. Inami, or we can say no, that nothing quite as revolutionary as that. We're talking about the water damaging after they've come to a standstill. That's Boer. After they've come to a standstill, that's Boer. And according to the Chazon Ish, we now know why. It will be a case then of Koach Rishoyin that come to a standstill eventually. And that will be Boer. And that will be like Boer. But the Loi Dami Le Boer. But yet it's different to Boer. Why? Kigoin Poskim Bivasein De Lekamon. What does he mean by that? Kigoin Poskim Bivasein De Lekamon. That is Boer that it's not compared to? Or that is the Boer that it would be like? What does he mean by that? V'loy dami l'bor. Why is it not like bor? Because bor is shaloy birushus, and this is birushus, and that's why it's not like bor. It would be like the din of peskin bivaseim. Peskin bivaseim. We see on Daf Vov, as Eric's just pointed out, we can learn from a me'atzad. We don't need a special out for that. That's what Tosfos asks. For afa gav de'osi b'me'atzad. So if you're going to say it's like the case of peskin bivaseim, that we can learn from a me'atzad. But then Hava Mina Districh Lakos Velachayev Kalim. But then I would have learnt that Kalim would be Potter. Demi Boy Lo Hava Shaminim. Because if we learn it from a Me'atzad from Bo, then Tosfos Hashita is you go with the coolers of both, the chumras of both. We go with the coolers of both. You go the lightest way, and therefore Bo, if it's learnt from Bo, even though it isn't actually Bo, even if we wouldn't classify it as well, the Ma'aseh would be the same according to the Pnei Yeshua and the Briskerov, because we would classify it as Bo, wouldn't we? This is not only learning it from Bo, this is also giving it the shame Bo. Once it has the shame Bo, everybody agrees it would be Potter B'Kalim. And that's why we need to write it L'chayev Kelim D'miboylo Abishaminen V'avimatzi L'mifrach Maylo Yizeh V'zeh Sheyesh Bein Ruach Chayim V'lad B'lav Achim B'shani Shapir Nenach Hanami. The Gemara could have asked, what's the meaning of the Mishnah? If Mave means Mayim, what does it mean Lo Yizeh V'zeh Sheyesh Bein Ruach Chayim? But the Gemara asks another kasha, which is just as good. That's how Tosfos learns through it. So we've come out with the important Yesodus of the difference between Kriach Rishon and Kriach Sheni. We've come out with the Yesodus of the Chazanish, of the definition of Kriach Rishon, and the fact that Bo needs a Kriach Rishon. To make it Bo, there must be a Kriach Rishon. I, Psichas HaBo, is not Kriach Rishon. Answers the Chazanish. Either you've got to learn that that's good for the Gzayas HaKosuf of Bo, or you've got to learn that that is called Kriach Rishon, that that's called opening the pit, opening the Bo. Let's go further into the Brisa of Rabbi Yeshayan. Tani Rabbi Shaya learned Shloisho Osor Ovis Naziki. He learns 13 Ovis Naziki. Now already we have a difficulty, because Rashi defined in the beginning of the Masechta a Nezik Arba Ovis Nezikin Ovis Kari Lahanach Tiksivim Bikro Behedye. That all those which are explicit in the Torah is what the Tana of the Mishnah calls an Av. So where is there place to include more? If that's the definition of an Av, how can you find 13 all of a sudden? Good, the Gemara is going to go on to discuss why our Mishnah left them out. But Rashi doesn't say that in the beginning. Rashi doesn't say, Ovis Kari means the Tana of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah calls Ovis all those which are explicit in the Torah. So what is Rabbi Yoshai, which implies that Rabbi Yoshai holds a different definition of Av, which you remember the first time we learned the Gemara, we were Madaik in Rashi. Says Rashi, Ovis, Kori Lahanach Deksivin Bikro. Those which are written in the Torah are called Ovis, but not Behedya. So we already see in Rashi and Achinami there's an essential machlekes between the Tana of the Mishnah and between the Braisa of Rav Hoshaya, that according to the Braisa of Rav Hoshaya, we are giving a wider interpretation to what an Av is. An Av is, it must be in the Torah, it must be a Doraisa, but it doesn't have to be Behedya, it can be from Yalfusas as well, it can be something which is learnt out as well. Now he lists them. Shemichinim v'ashoel noisei sochel v'hasoicher. One who is a trustee, that is an unpaid trustee, a borrower, a paid trustee, and a hirer. Nezek tzar ripui v'sheves v'voishes. The arbod maslisin plus the four of the Mishnah hot leisim. Says Rashi, shoyim echinom, chayev b'pshia. Shoyim echinom is chayev b'pshia. V'ashoyel chayev afilu b'oinsi. And the shoyel is chayev even for oynes. And the soicher and the noisei socher are chayovim for theft and certainly for pshia. The kuluk sivi kidatani b'ferik hashoyel, and they're all written in the Torah as it learns in perik hashoyel above the pshia. Now, why does, remember we remember that? Why does Rashi have to say the kuluk sivi kidatani b'ferik hashoyel? Let it say the kuluk sivi dichtiv and quote from the chumash, as Rashi has done all along. So you see that you need the Gemara to know that the parashas taka talking about a shoyel and that the parashas talking about a shemei socher. It's not mefurish in the pasuk. By our arba ovis, it clearly says that if a man damages if the shoyel of a man damages the shoyel of another man, it's quite clear what it's talking about. There's no question. You don't need a Gemara to tell you what it's talking about. But in these cases, although it's written in the Torah, you need the Gemara to tell you. That's why our Tana didn't count them as an av. Parashas rishonim Rabbi Shemichinom, shniyah b'shemei socher, shlishis b'shoyel. Hilkach Ovis Ninu, and that's why they are Ovis, because the Gemara learns that they are referred to in the Torah. Or the Kaman Bo Imaini Utoldis. And the Gemara will discuss what are the Toldis of these Ovis. Nezek, what is Nezek? Hachovel Bechaveiro Noisen Lui Mashu Shove Achshov Pochus Mibitchile. Nezek is you evaluate the person's decreased value as a result of the assault, and that's what's paid. Tsar, how do you evaluate Tsar? You work out how much a person who's been decreed that his hand's going to be chopped off by the king, how much he would pay to have it done under anesthetic. The Lesle Tsar Kulihai, where there's not so much pain. This is a difficult Rashi. The Lesle Tsar Kulihai, that means there is some pain there. So let's say the pain of having it done by anesthetic is worth 20 rand. And the pain of having it done without anesthetic is worth, in other words, a person would pay 500 rand to have it done under anesthetic. And to avoid the pain even of the anesthetic, he would pay another 20 rand. So according to Rashi, how much is the tsar? According to 500. He would pay 500 not to have it done without an anesthetic. So according to Rashi, although he would still pay more to have it done without any pain at all we're evaluating is how much he would be willing to pay to have it done by anesthetic. There's a little bit left over there that Rashi doesn't consider as part of tsar. He says some pain there is, but that doesn't come into the evaluation of tsar, since the minimum that you can have your hand cut off with is with an anesthetic. So the pain of an anesthetic, that you've got to discount. That's part of having your hand chopped off. All you can do is how much less would you be prepared to pay not to have it done with the pain of a... Anything at all. And you see, if you look on Rashi, the Takta on Daf Pehei. Pehei Amud Aleph. Pehei Amud Aleph. About a third of the way down the Omud, there's a Rashi Bein Sam L'Sayif. The Gemara talks about this tzar. You got that? Ben Sam L'Sayif. Yodoy HaMuchteves L'Melech L'Koytetzo. His hand has been decreed by the king to be chopped off. B'Sam She'ein Sham Tzar Klau Kama Roitzelito L'Koytetzo B'Sayif. How much does it, if the decree is to chop it off with an anesthetic, where there is no tzar at all, says Rashi, how much would that, would he be prepared to accept to have it chopped off with a sword instead? That's the level of the tzar. So here Rashi says there's no tzar at all with an anesthetic. And it's the other way around. It's interesting also. Our Rashi says, if it's been decreed to be chopped off by sword, how much would he pay to have it chopped off by anesthetic? And the other one, Rashi says the other way around, it's been decreed to be chopped off by anesthetic, how much would he want to have, how much would he demand to have it chopped off by the sword instead? So it's a different Rashi. There's a bit of a stira between those two Rashis. But that's not counted as tzar, as you want to say. But the tzar, since that's not immediate tzar, that doesn't come into the calculation. But all we're looking at, then we would explain the Rashi, all we're looking at is immediate tzar. Yeah, it doesn't help us much. And the fact there's a stira between the two Rashis. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
It's almost having paid for the initial tzar, you say, look, it's the same thing as if you would have walked into a door. Okay, it's just that here we're paying you for that initial pain. After you walked into the door, you would have that pain going on forever.
Yeah, but all we're paying you is the b'shas ma'ase. Yeah. That's what Hillel's trying to say, which is a way of explaining the Rashi, but it doesn't really solve the problem. V'ripui v'sheves u'boishes Kulu yalif mikroi b'ferik ha'choyvel. They're all learned from psukim. Again, here, see? Kulu yalif mikroi b'ferik ha'choyvel. Rashi doesn't quote the Chumash, he quotes the Gemaras. The Kivan Diksivi, but since they're basically in the Torah, they learn from the Torah, obviously, you know, that's why they're obvious. Right through, Rashi's battling with the fact of this distinction between the Mishnah and the Brais of Rav Ashaya. Now, ask the Gemara. The Tana Didon, my time elitani hani. So why does our Tana not learn these of Rav Ashaya? According to Shmuel, there's no kasha. Shmuel, who says that mave is shein, then I can say beniske momen komairi beniske gufu loy komairi. Our Mishnah refers to niske momen, not to niske gufu. Elol Rav lisni tano lisni, but according to Rav, who says that mave is odom, so he expands our Mishnah even to be talking about the nizikin of odom. Surely he should include those of Rav Ashaya as well. Now, what should the Gemara answer according to the way we've learned? Because our Mishnah holds that the obvious are only those that are behavior bikro. But the Gemara doesn't. Tana Odom the Cholmili the Odom. When he says Odom Taki, he means Odom and everything that's included with Odom. So he includes the ones of Rav Ashaya and Achanami. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yoshai, Nami, Otani, Le Odom. So why does Rabbi Yoshai separate them? Trey Gavli Odom. Answer the Gemara, there are two types of Odom Hamazik. Tana Odom da Azik Odom, and Tana Odom da Azik Shur. There's a difference between Odom is Mazik and Odom is Mazik is Shur. Says Rashi, Kol Anach Rabbi Yoshai, Hu Atzmoy Mazik. All the cases of Rabbi Yoshai, a man himself is causing the Nezik. These four shomrim have been mazik by their not watching correctly. That's the act of mazik. The incorrect shmiro is an act of nezek. That's an important phrase in Rashi. Uvenizokin daazik gufoi loy kamari masnisen. Our Mishnah is not talking about the nizikin caused by the body himself. Elo l'rav d'omer maveze odom hoy l'mayri tana de masnisen. Litni hani, let him learn these two. Tana Odom Mave de Masnisin. Tana Adim de Azik Shor Kloima. Niske Momon, that's only Niske Momon. Toho Mave Dumye de Boyer Ktani. Because our Mishnah learns Mave similar to Boyer. U Boyer Loi Mairi Ben Niske Odom Drachmona Patre Le Gamrik Le Tanya Le Kaman Shor Velo Odom Chamoy Velo Kelim. Boyer is talking only about Kelim damaged in the Boyer. And therefore, because Tabori is talking about only Kalim, because Odom is not, that's not Kalim either, is it? Shor v'loy Odom, Chom v'loy Kalim, it's talking only about animals. And therefore, Odom also is not talking about Odom Hamazik Odom, but only about Odom Hamazik Shor. For Odom d'Azik Shor, hechekziv, the korilei Av, so why is Odom d'Azik Shor called an Av of its own? Tichtiv u'maki nefesh behem u'yishalmena, that's the mave of the Mishnah. Only Odom the Azik Shor. What about Odom the Azik Kelim? Where would that fit in? According to this Rashi, where would Odom the Azik Kelim fit in? And the same as Adam does it show. But if it's learnt all from Bor, but if it's all learned from Bor, that Adam v'loy shoyr, chamoy v'loy kelim, then Adam, then Mavi should be the same, should be only Adam amazik shoyr, because that's the Av in the Torah. And Adam, the Azik kelim, would be a toldo of that. Yes, but that would have to be as a tolda. The Niske Momon would have to be a tolda of Niske Shur. Because Rashi says, where do we have this exclusive Av of Odom, the Azik Shur? Where does it say that in Furish of the Torah? Don't forget that our mission needs it behedya. Tichtiv umake nefesh behemo yishalmen. It's talking about Odom, the Azik behemo, that's a Mefurish Av in the Torah. Odom, the Azik Kalim, that will be a tolda of that. Odom, the Azik Odom, what will be there about Odom? Odom Dazik Odom is also Mefurish. That's another Av. That's Rav Ashaya. That's not a told of Odom Dazik Shor. That's an Av all of its own. Sorry? It is.
It's also big, Maltana should also come.
So why doesn't our Tana count it? We've said it's not behavior, but that's still our question. Why the Gemara doesn't come onto that at all? Why the Gemara doesn't come onto that at all? So we're saying, because our Mishnah is not talking about Odom, Dazik, Odom. Why not? What's the chiluk between Odom, Dazik, Odom and Odom, Dazik, Shur? What's the conceptual chiluk? Good, there's the Arba Dvorim, but more than that. That's the differences in Tashlumin. That's the Gemara's next question. In that case, Shur also. Let's go on a little bit further. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi Shur Nami, Litni Tregav Nishur, Litni Shur Dazik Shur, Litni Shur Dazik Odom. Answers the Gemara, Hai Mai, Bishlama, Odom Dazik Shur, Nezek Udom Shalim, Odom Dazik, Odom Shalim, Arba Dvorim, Ela Shur, Mali Shur Dazik Shur, Mali Shur Dazik Odom. So the Gemara comes on that there's a difference in Tashlumin between Odom Dazik, Odom, and Odom Dazik Shur. But there's more than just the difference in Tashlumin. Okay, that's one difference. What's another difference? According to the Rambam, by Odom Dazik Odom, there's a p'tur of Oynes. By Odom Dazik Kelim, there's no p'tur of Oynes. It's different halachas altogether. According to the Shitas Rambam. The way we've learned according to Agius and the Rambam, it's a completely different mazik. Why is it so different? Why is the Tashlumim so different? The only should be potter that is chayev barba dvorim. Why is that all so different? So there I found Reb Moshe Mordechai Epstein, who was the Rosh Hashiva of the Slabotke. A little piece here that actually we see that he learns, seems to learn the Rambam the same way as we learned him. Odom the Mazik Kelim would have to be a tilde of Adam Dazik Shur.
Shur or Odom?
Odom Dazik Shur.
Even though Kelim and Shur is what they
Yeah, okay, that's why we say the Mishnah is talking only about Odom the Azik Shur. Halachas, especially according to the Rambam.
The
Mechayev
is not from Bor at all.
So the Mechayev is from the Torah. All Rashi is saying is from Bor you learn, from the Mishnah is classifying it together with Bor, you learn that the Mishnah is talking about a specific type of Odom, Odom Hamazik, as the Av. What is the Av? Odom the Azik Shur, just as Bor is Bor the Azik Shur. So the Av referred to in the Mishnah is Odom the Azik Shur. Where's the Makor for that Av? Odom umake nefesh behema yishamim. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Now that you've got the Av of Odom the Azik Shur, you can learn the Toldos of Azik of Odom the Azik Kelim also. But the Chayiv is not Bor. We don't learn the Chayiv. There's no me'atzad from Bor for this. It's got its own posuk. You don't need Bor at all. If you look at the underlined section in Reb Moshe Mordechai, umishumachi haRambam. Kosov Odom Muad Loilom Ben Shegeg Uvein Mezid Veloi Kosov Ben Onus. Right? He's referring to our first Rambam. There he says Odom is Muad Loilom Ben Shegeg Uvein Mezid, and he doesn't write Onus. The Gabi Chabolos Odom Kiven Dahavi Begeder Onesh. Since the payment for assault is Begeder Onesh, Mishum Hachi, therefore Im Hoyo Onus Potur. If he is Onus, he is Potur. The Dafka Shoigeg Rav Svatoyna Mi Petzah Tachas Petzah. And the Rambam holds that Petzah Tachas Petzah teaches only the Chiyuv of Onus. Aval Onus Potu. But if it's a real Onus, it's Potu. Mash Enkein Beferek Vov, which is not the case in Perek Vov. Sheveinu Dehosum Koyu Legabi Mazik Momen Chaveru. Ksiv Ben Shoyo Shoigeg Ben Shoyo Onus. There he includes Onus because it's talking about Odom Dazik Momen. Hareyu kemezid harei da al onus gamkin chayev, the mazik moment lo yavi begeder oynish. Because if he's mazik moment, that's not an oynish. So the Moshe Mordechai makes a big chiluk here based on that Rambam between Odom the Azik Odom and Odom the Azik Shoyel. There's a whole conceptual difference between them. Odom the Azik Kelim, the payment is compensation. You damaged, that damage needs to be compensated for. It makes no difference whether you're an onus or not. What's it the Nizak's business how it happened? The fact is, through you, I've lost money. You need to return that money to me. And I'm not interested whether you're to blame. I'm not accusing you. I'm just claiming my loss from you. In the case of Odom the Ozik Odom, it's a chidush of Moshe Mordechai. He wants to say, Odom the Ozik Odom, there is no compensation. You can't compensate a man for damaging another human being. Which is takel, when you think about it, is a lovely concept. What are you damaging him for? So you're paying for his nezek, so he's worth less. Good. You're paying for his tsar, so the pain he suffered, you're paying for. You're paying for his vipui, his medical expenses. You're paying sheves for his unemployment. You're paying boishes for his shame. Good. So now you've paid. And what about the Kriya Shema he couldn't say with Kavona when he was davening, when he was in pain? Where are we paying for that? What about the mitzvah chesed that he couldn't do because he was in a hospital bed and he couldn't go around? Where are we paying for that? When you're dealing with an Odom, he's so infinite, his potential is so infinite, you cannot possibly compensate an Odom for one moment of his life. If you deprive a person of opportunity, what can you compensate him for? It's not possible to compensate him. So what is the Geder Tashlumim by Nizkei Odom? What are we really paying him for? You can't compensate him for the Nezik. Says the Moshe Mordechai Epstein, what you're paying for is Einesh. This is not any attempt at compensation. That's why the Germans should not have called it reparations, or we shouldn't have allowed them to call it reparations. We missed the whole point in that debate. The debate was, should we take the money or shouldn't we take the money? The answer is, we should take the money, but not if it's called reparations. We should have insisted that it's called guilt payment, punishment, fine. Call it a fine. But that the Germans have imposed, have self-imposed a fine. That we'll accept. But not the word reparation. Not the word compensation. You cannot compensate for that. That was our mistake. To allow the word, the money was not the ikka. The concept is the ikka. And says Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, that's the concept of Odom the Azik Odom. There is no concept of Nezikim. This is a concept that's Begeder Oynesh. We're punishing him, not extracting compensation from him. That's a tremendous Musar Haskil. That means that the damage of a person, one can just distracting a person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Keeping him waiting.
Keeping him waiting, exactly. There was a case. Now they reported in there's a very important article in the Last Time magazine, by the way. And in that, one of the things in that article, they report a case of a man, a businessman, who sued his doctor for fortunes, for keeping him waiting for an hour. Which is a very interesting case. Well, you're to keep me waiting. It's a business. I made a time. My time is very valuable, and you've caused me a heavy loss. A very interesting case. They didn't mention in the article whether he won his case or not. They just reported it in passing. But that's a very interesting case, and certainly b'day shemayim that there's such a concept. There's the lovely story of the Gemara. Who was it? Maybe somebody learned it in their Bekiyas. Of the Rav who suffered terrible yisurin or an early death. And they're trying to work out why, and they come to the conclusion because he kept somebody waiting. Somebody, a lady came to ask a shayla. No, there was that as well. With Eli, there was also with Eli's sons. There was also that he did that. But there was a Tana. There was a Tana. Yeah, because that was the keeping them from their husbands. That was Al Sniyuf. That wasn't Al's just them keeping them waiting. I think it was okay. He was tying his shoelace. I think in keeping the person waiting. That kind of madrega, we see that there is such a concept. When you've distracted a person, how are you going to measure what damage you've caused him? Who knows what in that moment that you've caused him to be distracted? Imagine distracting somebody in the davening. How serious that is. Distracting somebody in the learning, distracting somebody at any time. Rebellia used to talk about disturbing somebody's sleep. If as a result of that disturbed sleep, his concentration is going to be less in the morning, and you're responsible for that, how can you ever repay that? How can you ever return for that? This is what the halacha is all about, and that's the geder which is you see here how a godel understands the Rambam. It's not stam. Yeah, there's a chiyuv on this. Yeah, there isn't. Yeah, there's abudvorim. Yeah, there isn't abudvorim. What's the concept? What's the idea underneath it all? Why are they so different? Why are there these different gedorim of tashlumim? Explains Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, because there's a difference in concept. One is compensation, and one is tashlumim, and one is onesh. Completely different thing. And for onesh, there's no onesh. Onesh, there has to be a degree of culpability for onesh. Even shoygeg, there's a degree of culpability for harai. You've got to bring a korban chatos for a shoygeg. So even for a shoygeg, there's some degree of culpability. For onesh, there's onesh rachmona patre. There is no culpability for onesh. For onesh, there's no, and that's why onesh is part of Odom Dazik Odom. It's a lovely piece of the, I'll understand it. Just in passing, he brings it. And that's the difference here between Rav Ashaya. Now, how do we understand? How do we try and reconcile our understanding of the difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa and the way the Gemara is going? The Gemara is making no reference to this behedya, love behedya. The Gemara is going along the conceptual differences. Why are these included and these aren't included? So we've got to now reinterpret the Gemara's kashas. What is the Gemara really asking? Not why are these included by Rav Ushaya and excluded by the Tanna of the Mishnah. The reason for that is because these are behedya and the others are not behedya. What the Gemara is really asking underneath it all is, why are these behedya and why are these not behedya? If behedya and not behedya make such a difference in concept, why does the Torah mention only these four behedya and the rest that we need to learn out by Alfusas? That's what the Gemara's kash is. Answers the Gemara, the Gemara tries to answer, because there's a difference between Odom Dazik Odom, Adam Dazik Shor, Odom Dazik Shor, that's learnt out Mefurish, that's compensation. Odom Dazik Odom, that's Onesh, that's a different gedder altogether. Idi, Vidi Nezik Udom Shor, Asa Gemara Val Shor Mechinim Va Shor El Nisi Socha Va Asoich Ed Odom Dazik Shor Hu. What about Shem Echinim, Shem Neisesoch, Soiche? These are all Odom the Azik Shoy. This is Odom who's Mazik Momen. Why is that included in the Tana, by the Tana of Rav, of by the Brice of Rav Ushaya, and not included in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Uktani, Tani Hezekah the Biodaim, Uktani Hezekah the Remeva. There's an additional condition, and that is that Hezekah Biodaim is mentioned in the Mishnah, and not Hezekah the Remeva. So the Mishnah deals only with Odom the Azik Shoir Beyodayim. Those are the ones which are Mefurish, which are Bekro Behedya. Odom the Azik Shoir Beyodayim. But Odom the Azik Odom, even Beyodayim, is not included. And Odom the Azik Shoir Sheloi Beyodayim is also not included. That's how the Gemara concludes in defining exactly what cases the Mishnah includes and what cases the Mishnah excludes which are included by Rav Ushaya. Says Rashi, Bishlama Odom Dazik Shor V'kivan D'loy Dami Chiyuvinu L'hadadi Tani Lu B'tati. I understand Odom Dazik Shor, they have different Chiyuvim, that's why they're not grouped together. Odom Dazik Odom K'gon Hei Dvorim D'choyel V'chaveir U'lekami Porich O'dal Shomrim D'Rav Yoshaya Odom Dazik Shor. Gemara will still deal with that. U'ksani Rabbi Yoshaya Ovis the mas nisin hezek the biyadaim dalut shomrim hezek the memele. Let's go a little further. Tani Rabbi Chiya, there's a brace of Rabbi Chiya. Esrim va'arbo ovis nezikin. So here, lichoyro Rabbi Chiya has still a looser definition of nezikin, because he includes all in all 24. Tashlumei kefir v'tashlumei arba v'chamisha v'ganav v'gazlan v'edim zomim min ba'inis v'amefateh v'amitzi shemra v'ametameh. So that all these cases and the metameh, it causes somebody's kodshim to become tomeh v'hamedameh v'hamenasech, causes yayin to become yayin esech v'hanitzlesa, plus the 13 of Rav Ashaya oisrim v'arba. Says Rashi, what are all these 24 cases? Tashlume kefil im himotzei simotzei biyodei agnevo. If one finds the gnevo in the hand of the ganav, he has to pay double. Tashlume arbu v'chamisho, four and five times, b'toveach u'meicher. That's if he's already gotten rid of the goods. The ganav, so what's ganav? So we've had ganav. Ganav is meshalim kefil. Why is ganav counted as a case all on its own? Shemeshalim al pi atzmi. A ganav, sometimes, if he pays by himself, he doesn't even pay kefil if he owns up afterwards. The ena meshalim kefil, then he doesn't pay kefil. Elo kerin bilvad, only the capital of his goods. Uchagoin shehoide me atzmi. For example, he was moide on his own accord. The moide biknas potur, because a moide biknas is potur, and kefil is a knas. And if he's moide, then he pays only the kerin. Hidamina nasheh yashir nelukim, yeshalim shnaim. Only when the judges find him guilty, then does he pay double. V'hainu knas, v'amrinu beferek merubah, prat l'mashiach es atzmoy. And we learn in Perek Merubah that excludes one who makes a rosha of himself, makes a ganav of himself, who owns up to his ganeva. He doesn't pay kefil, he only pays the kerin. There is a discussion in the Ketzos HaChoshen and Siman Lamed Daled as to what the mechanism of Ridas Baldin is. When a person comes along and says, I stole. What does Beis Din say? I stole. I stole from so and so, and I owe him 100 rand. Next day, and he doesn't pay. Next day, the so and so, who doesn't even know that the 100 rand was stolen from him, comes and claims, says, no, you stole from me, I want the 100 rand. Then he says, next day he changes his mind. He says, no, I'm not. You didn't even notice, it wasn't even missing. I'm not paying. Or I've changed my mind. I made a mistake. I didn't steal from you. What is the din? In that case, we make him pay. What is his defense going to be? How do you know that I stole? I told you. Ugh, I'm a korov to myself. How can you believe me? If I want to pay, that's fine, but I don't anymore. So you're now going to use my evidence against me? I'm a nogei abedover. I'm a korov. Ein adom esimatzmei rosho. What? All sorts of things. How can you believe my evidence against me? So the Achronim go into a long discussion, and the Tzachoshim deals with it in Siman Lamed Daled, as to what is the basis of that chiyuv? How are we going to hold him chayiv? And the two possibilities are that the Achronim distill it down to are ne'emonus or his chayivus. What are we saying? We do believe that you were a ganav, and because you were a ganav, you now have to pay back. Or is it a new his chayivus? We say, look, we don't believe you were a ganav. You're a korov and all sorts of things. But the same as if a person comes along to Beis Din and he says, I hereby declare that I owe so-and-so 100 rand. And the Beis Din says, why? They don't even say. Beis Din doesn't even say why. It's irrelevant why. It's a new hischaivus. It's like writing out a check. If you're writing out a check, nobody has to ask you what the check is for. If you're writing out a check and you hand the check over, that's a hischaivus, and you can claim against that, irrespective of what it's for. So, to say in front of Edim or in front of a Beis Din, I owe Ploini 100 rand, that's writing out a check. That's called the Hischaivus. So the Achronim debate whether the principle of Hidas Baldin is a principle of Hischaivus. We're not interested whether he did it or he didn't do it. That's of no concern of ours. He has created a Chiyu for himself. Or do we say it's Ne'amonus? No, we take a believe him. We take a believe him. And the Ksos HaChoshen comes out that we believe him, that it's Ne'amonus. That the din of Korub and all these things are only said when you're talking about somebody else, to your advantage. But when you're talking about yourself, to your own disadvantage, these Gzeras HaKosuvs don't apply at all. That wasn't part of the Gzeras HaKosuv. That's how the Ksos HaChoshen learns it. Now, one of the Achronim wants to bring a raya from this Rashi for the Ksos HaChoshen. Can you see the raya? So here Rashi says, if he's moide, he doesn't pay the kefil, he only pays the kerin. Fine. Is it a hischaivus or is it a ne'emonus? Why?
Because it's nezikin.
You need to go a step further than that. You're right. You need to go a step further than that. You need to know the Gemara a little bit further on for that. The logic is right, but you need a little bit of longness. Because the Gemara asks at the end, why are these called nezikin? The Gabi, what are these obis? What does the Gemara answer? What does the Gemara conclude at the end of the sugya? Why are these legabi? What are these called the office? All these 24? No. He asks, "Ovis Michlal Dika Tildes to the same mind you, Omer Rabbi Avo Kulon Kovis L'Shalim Imeitav." The essence is that these are all Meitav. That's why these are all Ovis Nizik, and Nizik you pay from Meitav. Oh, but on a check you don't pay me Meitav. So if we're going to say here that you have to pay me, if it's a Hischaivus, he's coming along and say, and he says, "I owe 100 rand, or let's say I owe 10,000 rand." If he hasn't got the 10,000 rand, we're going to take from his property. What property are we going to take from? The farm in the Karoo or the shop in Fifth Avenue, New York? Which is the one we're going to take? Ischaivus, we'll take the farm in the Karoo. No obligation to give up his finest property for this Ischaivus. But if we believe that he was a Ganav and that he's a Mazik, then we've got to give him the din of the Mazik, and he has to get from Edis. We see from the inclusion of Moide Be'atzmo that his own admission is considered an Av Nezek, that means Legavi what? That there's a Tashlumin from Idis. If there's a Tashlumin from Idis, that shows that it's a Ne'monis, it's not a Ischaivus. A very important raya for the Tzur Sachoshin. There's contemporary Rosh Hashivas wants to tie against that, and he wants to say that he says in this case he is being mischayev for the Idis. What is he saying? He comes along and says, "I am a guy." What would happen if a person comes along and says, "I owe you my property in Fifth Avenue"? Then what would we take from him? And then he wants to get out of it. We would take his property in Fifth Avenue from him. So by saying I was a ganav, he wants to tie that. He is saying, "And I owe you money. And if I don't have the money, what I owe you is the best of my properties." So he wants to tie that. It's not a raya necessary to the tzesachoshim, but I don't think that's right. The Lemaisa, he says, "I'm a ganav." That's all he's saying. I stole 100 rand. Whether we take that in cash or in property, that's all consequences of that admission. But all he's saying is he's creating a hischaivus. He's not really creating a hischaivus. He's saying, "I stole." Now what are we saying? If we say he's creating a hischaivus, then his hischaivus is 100 rand. There's no din that you go straight to the property. The din is you take the money. It's only if he doesn't have the money, then you go to the property. So if he comes along and says, "I stole 10,000 rand or $10,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is," that's a hischaivus of $100,000. And that's the end of the hischaivus. Now there comes a shali, he hasn't got the $100,000. What do we take? So if it's stama hischaivus, we take ziburis. If we believe that he's a ganav, then we've got to take the idis. It's a very good note. It's a very good riot to the Tosafot. No, because there's a gzeiras kosov of prat l'mashiach atzmo. There's no. That's moide b'knasis potur. That's a gzeiras kosov. That knas does not apply where there's a hudo. V'gazlan nami avu dichtiv v'heishiv v'sagzei l'asher goza. A gazlan is also an av because it says v'heishiv v'sagzei l'asher goza. Oynes u'mefasek ksivi chamishim kesef ksiv b'oynes ksivi chamishim kesef ksiv b'oynes u'mefasek ksiv. Kesef Yishkal Kamora Abishilus, Kamora Besulim Shal Oynis, Dainu Chamishim Kesef. Moitzi Shemro, Ksiv, Onshu Yisimea Kesef. Metame Trumo, Medamea Trumo Bechulin, to throw some Trumo into Chulin and thereby reduce its value. Umenasech Yayin Lavida Zoro. Umenasech is Gitin, Mefarish, Amailo Kamle Bidrabe Mine. The Gemora and Mesech is Gitin, which we need to look at. We'll learn why there's no kimle midrabe minay. To do avodah zorah, there's a chiv skila, and therefore, if he does avodah zorah with yayin, that's the way to make it yayin nesek. He's chiv skila. Where's the chiv moment? The tamei medamea menasech lo yksivi behedya. These are not written behedya. Va'afilu achia ve'ovis shebichlal nezek hein, because they're included in nezek. Here we're going a degree further than Rav Shaya. So he's including not only those which are not ksivi behedya, but they're not ksivi at all, except they're included in nezek. So here, according to Rav Hoshaya, a damaging of Kalim is also an Av. An Odom, the Azik Kalim is also an Av. Umanasech is a Yain Lekelemema Shenischo Beyain Nesech Shezorak Boy. And you can't learn that Yain Nesech means that he threw some Yain Nesech into ordinary wine. Teloi Kamechasre Veloi Midi, because then he's not causing a loss at all. The Homazbin Leibar Midme Yain Nesech Sheboy. Because he's allowed to sell it, you're not allowed to have hanor from the yain nesech, but you have allowed to have hanor from the rest of it. So if he had 1,000 rands worth of yain, and this fellow threw in 100 rands worth of yain nesech, he can still sell his yain for 1,000 rand. He can't sell it for 1,100 rand. He's going to sell it for 1,000 rand, but that way he doesn't lost anything. He's got his 1,000 rand back. So it can't be talking about pouring yain nesech into other wine. It must be talking about being menasech the whole lot. We didn't answer that. We didn't answer. She said, "Look, silly." She said, "Look, silly at all." Yeah. We didn't answer that. This is unclear. I want to do the Tosfos Ve'edim Zoymimin. Ve'edim Zoymimin. Perush Rivo. Tosfos has a kashya on Edim Zomimin. How can the Edim Zomimin be a mazik? What is the din with an Edim Zomimin? An aid comes along and he says, Ruvain stole money from Shimon. And as a result of that, and really it didn't happen. Ruvain did not steal money from Shimon. So the Edim Zomimin are being mazik Ruvain. Why? Because they're obligating Ruvain to pay to Shimon. Now, if Reuven did pay to Shimon, right, which is the case of the Nezek, then are they called Edim Zomimin? Kasher Zoman, the Loi Kasher also. They only get the din of Edim Zomimin if Reuven didn't pay to Shimon. If Reuven didn't pay to Shimon, then in what way are they Edim Zomimin Mazikim? That's an Onesh, that's punishment, that's not Mazik. That's Tosfos' Kasher, that by the very definition of Edim Zomimin, he can't cause Nezek. The moment he causes the Nezek, he's Potu. From the Gzeres HaKosov of Kasher Zoma. That's Tosfos' Kasher, to which he brings two answers, the Rivo and Ri. Pirish Rivo da afilu shile mapia edim zomimin chayovim. Even if he did pay, even if Reuven did pay back to Shimon, that means Reuven is falsely accused of having stolen from Shimon, and the Beis Din make him pay. So Reuven has now paid 100 rand unjustifiably. So the edim zomimin have caused the loss of 100 rand to Reuven. Nevertheless, you've still got to pay the loy shayach b'momin kasher zomim v'loy kasher also, because the gzeres hakosov of kasher zomim v'loy kasher also says the rivo does not apply in monetary cases, the efsha b'chazora, because that can be reversed. When you can't punish the edim zomimin and the person, let's say a case of misa, so the edim zomimin come along and say Reuven murdered Shimon. And we find afterwards that Reuven didn't murder Shimon. What is the din? If Reuven has not yet been put to death, we put the Edim Zomimin to death. But if Reuven has been put to death, we don't put the Edim Zomimin to death. That's the normal din. It can't be bechazor. It's again kill two people for a crime that wasn't done. That we don't do. That Torah doesn't allow us to do. But if Reuven hasn't yet been killed, then we kill. Then we kill the Edim. But by money, it's Efshe B'chazorah. You can revert to the situation before the payment, and you can give them the din of Kasher Zoman, V'loi Kasher also. Take the money back from Shimon and give it to Reuven. So Reuven is now not paid Shimon. And now we can apply Kasher Zoman, V'loi Kasher also, and make the Edim Zomimin pay to Reuven. That's how the Rivol ends it. No, it's very good according to the Americans. Only one person, that's the whole thing. Kasher Zoman, V'loi Kasher also.
Two witnesses.
Two witnesses. Okay. A raya against the Americans.
Except no one is put to death.
So what, but are you satisfied with the Rivo? Are you satisfied with the longest of the Rivo?
They're not causing
it. Yeah, but then we're back to the, once you paid it back, then there's no Nezek again. What's the Rivo gained? The whole thing is to show that an Eid Zomim can cause Nezek. How does he cause Nezek? If there's been Tashlumin. But if there's been tashlumim, it's kasher zomam v'lo kasher also. So it says the Rav also give back the tashlumim. If you give back the tashlumim, there's no nezik. So what the Rav achieved? Rav Shimon asked that kasher. So Rav Shimon gives a difficult answer. He gives and says that that would even apply where you can't get the money back. For example, let's say the person Shimon has become poor, he's got no money, he's got nothing. Reuven paid Shimon and Shimon has spent the money and he's got nothing left. There's absolutely nothing. No property, no money, nothing. So you can't get the money back. Would you then still give the Eidzomim the punishment? Says Reb Shimon, the Rivor says yes. Since it's Efshar Bechazoro, it has the din of Kasher Zoman. The fact that practically you couldn't extract the money back, that doesn't matter. The fact that it's Efshar Bechazoro means that Momin does not have the din of Kasher Zoman v'Loi Kasher Oso. That's how Reb Shimon answers it. But there's another way we can answer it very simply. What's the din with a ganav? A ganav steals money. So the ganav is caused, Reuven steals from Shimon. So Shimon has suffered nezek at the hands of Reuven. What does the Beis Din do? They make Reuven pay back the money to Shimon. And yet, he's called a mazik. So at what time is he called a mazik? In other words, even that, the fact that afterwards he's going to get the money back, and it's Efshar Bechazora, a ganav can own up, the money's not, one can always correct a ganeva. If you assault a person, it can't be corrected. If you damage his property, it can't be corrected. But if you've stolen his money, it can be corrected. The ganav can own up. Yet that's called nezek. So we see that even temporary deprivation of money is considered a maise nezek. The fact that it's Efshar Bechazora doesn't matter. That's the second way of answering the kasha. And I think the yesod of it, all that has to be understood is that in Eidim Zomim, what is the Maise Nezik? At what point is the Eid Zomim called the Mazik? Yeah. What is the way? What point? Yeah, so where is his, what is the point of his Nezik? The Dibur is his Nezik. Irrespective of whether it's on a monetary. Like the moment Eidus is given against me in Beis Din that I owe money, at that point already I've been damaged. Whether I've paid the money over yet or not, it doesn't matter. A chiyuv has been created in me. I'm immediately debited for that amount. The moment the Eidus is given. The fact that physically the money hasn't been taken out of me, but my book entries are already, I'm in trouble. And people aren't going to lend me money too easy. If these Eidim Zomim are coming and they've given Eidus in Beis Din that I owe fortunes of money, I'm already penalized. At that point I've been damaged. So I think that's really the essence of it. Although that's not quite what Rivo is saying, is it? Asks Tosfos, what is Tosfos' kasha? Why are Eidim Zomim considered mazikim? They are only considered Eidim Zomim if money hasn't passed. Answers the Rivo. In the case of money, they're chayiv even if money has passed. Also, the efshar bechazora. When it comes to monetary cases, then kasher zomom v'loy kasher also doesn't apply. Even kasher also they're chayiv. The re mefarish the loy tzorich lahaytime, and the re says you don't need this reason. The gabi momen mechayivin and lu bekal vachomer. There's a very simple kal vachomer. If an eid zomim is chayiv for kasher zomim, kol shcheni should be chayiv for kasher also. Right. So why don't we use that? Why don't we use that kal vachomer normally? There's a simple reason for that. What's the reason? Ain't no shimin adin. Then use kal vachomer with punishments. Kasher zomim. It says kasher zomim. You can't extend it with kal vachomer.
No, it just says kasher zomim.
So now the question is does that mean exclusively kasher zomim, or does it mean kol shchein? The logic is kol shchein. Vasisol kasher zomim, and certainly if the punishment had already been executed, but since ein enshin min adin, we can't use that extension. But Tosfos' shita is that by moment we are enshin min adin. Because in the case of Momen, we are in Shimin Adin. So the miyut of Kasher Zoman Veloi Kasher also doesn't apply in Momen. In Momen, it's Kasher Zoman Va'afilu Kasher also. So according to Ri, the essence of the Nezek, this is where we can learn that third Teretz. According to Ri, the essence of the Nezek of the Eid Zoymeim is when he speaks. That's when he does the Nezek. And that's why Kasher Zoman is Chayev. I, you'll ask, why then Kasher also is he Potu? Because Ein En Shimin Adin. And Achanami, he should be chayiv as well from a kal vachomer, and we use that kal vachomer in Momen. But since in Oinshin we cannot use that kal vachomer, there's nothing we can do. His crime is too terrible for that punishment. It's not a just punishment. It's not a fitting punishment. He needs much worse than that. So we've got to leave it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because of Ein En Shimin Adin. But in Achanami, the kal vachomer applies. Certainly, he deserves worse if kasher also. Because the essence of his nezek is the moment he gives his edus, he's already chayef. If they've already killed, they can't be killed. That's because in Gemara Makkos we're talking about an oinish, and in the case of oinish we can't learn a kal vachomer. But the Rivol probably holds that ein oinshin min adin even by momen. Which is why he has to come to the Machlikas Rivo and Rih. It revolves around whether Ein En Shimin Adin applies to Momen as well. And that depends on whether we view Momen as an Oinesh, as a type of Oinesh, or as pure compensation. And according to Ashita and the Rambam, what are we going to say? It depends. Odom, the Azik, or the Kelim is pure compensation. And there maybe you could use Ein En Shimin Adin. You could say Ein Shimin Adin, but Odom, the Azik Odom, there's an element of Oinesh, and there you wouldn't be able to say Ein En Shimin Adin. And here we're talking about Odom, the Azik Odom, and therefore Ein En Shimin Adin. So you could learn Ri, even according to the Ma'an De'Omar, according to the Rambam, we could come out in Ri, that even according to the Ma'an De'Omar, that Ein Shimin Adin, even according to the Ma'an De'Omar, that Ein Shimin Adin B'Momin, in this case, Ein En Shimin Adin, because this is Odom Dazik. This is Odom Dazik Odom, and not Odom Dazik Momen. By Kelim, we don't have such a thing, such a gedder. It still has a value. We claim it still has a value. This that people put sentimental value onto Kelim is really against the Torah. We see that the only thing that there should be sentimental value on is life. Time. That's irreplaceable. But we're living in a funny world. People's time is considered, time is money. Money is time. That's life, people feel, has a value. A Rembrandt, you can never compensate me for the loss of my Rembrandt. For the loss of my time, you can compensate me. I'll claim 10 million rand from you and I'll be satisfied with that. But for the Rembrandt, what can you do? It's distorted values. Ideas, something that was a patent. That's a different thing altogether. That would tackle not be Kalim. That's tackle not Kalim. Ideas, that comes the whole question of who owns ideas, whether there's bailus on ideas, whether they have a monetary value, and so on. But on a clear, see in the Torah that Adam does, a Kalim is all put into one, no matter how valuable and unique and rare the clear is. At the end of the day, a clear has a value, some value the clear has. But human beings have no value. There's no one cannot put a value to the human being.
Although what we do, not told it through, but we sell the man to make him pay for the kelim.
Yeah, we sell his time, we sell his labor. We're selling something very defined. We're selling his labor. But in Achinami, it's an issue to put yourself into that situation. Liban Yisrael avodim, v'loy avodim la'avodim. It's a diminishment of his avodas Hashem. He can't serve the Ribbono Shel Olam as an eved the same way as he can as a ben chori. Nothing more that he sold. Yeah, correct. In Mirtz Hashem, next Sunday I'll summarize this last Tosfos again, and then on the Menasech I want to do the Rashi, and the Tosfos and the Gemara in Gittin. So if you'll have photostats already for all your Gemaras, that Gemara in Gittin, which Rashi and Tosfos quote on Daf Nun Beis, there's a little Mishnah and a little piece of Gemara which we have to learn, and we'll do that in Mirtz Hashem in the Shir on Sunday.